search. Pam's mom will be 90 in June, and she said, if anybody asks you what I want for my birthday, tell them word searches. Word searches. She loves her word search. Amen. Something, again, about hardwired into us to search things out. And so, again, the glory of God to conceal a matter, the glory of kings to search it out, to seek. And we know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And he even said that those who seek will find. Those who seek will find. So we're not on some aimless search. You know, we're not climbing flagpoles for looking for keys taped at the top of them. But I don't know why. Anyway, is it okay? Y'all indulge me for a minute to share that silly story. But it's just, I don't know, something about riding up through there. And, you know, our routine, if y'all remember Burger in a Hurry on the corner there across from Birmingham Southern College, that was my uncle, my dad's brother, owned that restaurant. And so our routine was we would go to Uncle Howard's restaurant on a Friday. We'd eat burger, visit with our uncle. Then we'd go to Kmart or Miller's or Woolco, you know, and then we'd stop at my grandparents' house in Brighton and where my mom was raised. Then we'd go back home. It's kind of our routine and taking up that road. You remember the day, because we have church every time the doors were open, and we woke up on a Sunday morning and mom and dad weren't ready for church. And they just decided we weren't going to church on a Sunday. I thought we were going to hell, but anyway, don't tell them I was scared. You know what I'm saying? But we went to Vulcan, and we went to Bonanza. Remember Bonanza up on the superhighway? Not the new one that became Ponderosa, but the old Bonanza. I see him over there. Man, I couldn't even pick out that building anymore going up through there. But anyway, but I could be telling you, I could be reading something better than, but it's more beneficial. But anyway, just something about the soul, something about just memories and nostalgia. I'm very nostalgia, sentimental, hold on to things. I went one day where my grandparents' house was there in Brighton, and it's not there anymore. But there was a concrete front porch that whatever happened to the house, burned or bulldozed or whatever, all that was gone. But that old porch, I guess, was too heavy to move. And it's been years ago. I stood on that porch and cried like a baby out there. I was like, man, get yourself back to where you need to be today. But it's just a lot of memories, you know. Anyway, but praise God. So God's a rewarder of those who seek. Amen. And so this attitude, this heart of God has things for us that require effort on our part, that require endurance on our part, that require a hunger on our part and a willingness to knock and keep knocking, to ask and keep asking, and to seek and keep seeking. And I like to think that that's what our entire family of faith is about, but I really believe that it's what this Wednesday night group is about. And I know there's times when we will settle in a section, and we'll stay there and stay there and stay there. It was kind of how this family of faith started back in 1998. We spent 3 years in John chapter 2, literally on Wednesday nights. But man, the things that the Lord showed us, you know, when you're willing, somebody who is a seeker doesn't just look once. And when you think about the number of times that, you know, you look at a verse, you look at a verse, you look at a verse you may have memorized years ago, and then it's like the Lord just shows you something you've never seen before. You know, so I don't apologize for going back to the same verses over and over and over again, but some of you are new to our Wednesday night study, and I'm trying to kind of maybe just help you understand why we do those things the way we do them. But let's go to 2 Timothy, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians. 2 Timothy, I put them on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter, let me see, did I put the background on it? All right, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. You know, sometimes we're not careful. You know, we'll feel like we're a wood and a clay vessel instead of like some of those fancier gold and silver vessels. But that's really not what he's talking about here. He says a vessel that is like a wood or a clay vessel is one that is participating in and still allowing dishonorable things to continue in their lives without purging them out. But he says if you'll purge the dishonor and the dishonorable things from your life, that you will be a vessel for honor. And this is another, and it's like when you start down a path and you really start seeking the Lord about something, and as it relates to me this last, I guess, 10 days or so, working on this chapter on really trying to bring some sense and some wisdom and understanding from the Lord on the subject of predestination. Notice here, we're born in the Father's house, but whether or not we're a vessel for honor, that's not up to him. That's up to us. That's up to, you know, whether or not we're willing to get the junk out, or we're just going to keep letting it linger and hang around. And God loves us. You understand what I'm saying? But his ability to use us and our ability to experience and enjoy all that belongs to us as his sons and daughters has as much to do once we're born again with our willingness. You know, I've kind of bounced around in my heart and mind, and I feel like, you know, the Lord wants me to kind of put something more formal together with this, but it's very, very important, and I'm saying this to edify you and to build you up. It's very, very important that we make the things of God, and that's a big subject, the things of God in general, but then specifically when we talk in terms of the general heading, the things of God, commitment to a local body of believers, prioritizing church attendance and worship and fellowship and serving and giving. These things are very, very important to God. They are very, very, very important to God. And so again, I commend you and build you up for being here, not just on Sundays, but also on a Wednesday evening. This is how we become a vessel for honor, by making the things of God and a life that honors God a priority that we commit ourselves to and follow through on, as always with his help. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For Christ indeed, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So this is another one of those things you'll never understand unless you understand spirit, soul, and body. You have to have the context of three dimensions to understand how someone can be truly unleavened and at the same time have leaven that needs to be purged from their lives. And as we said in discipleship class, one-dimensional thinking says it has to be either or. It can't be both and. But three-dimensional spirit, soul, and body, the context that provides shows us how someone can be truly unleavened and at the same time still have corruption in their thinking, which leads to corruption in their behavior that needs to be driven out, that needs to be purged out from us. So in this context, again, leaven represents ways of thinking and living that contaminate and corrupt, something that negatively affects the results or outcomes we are experiencing in our lives. And a lot of people blame God for that. And a lot of people accuse God of not being fair and doing for one what he won't do for another. And that's just incorrect. It's incorrect. We're born again, born into Father's house. And if we're willing to work together with the Holy Spirit and purge out the old leaven because we truly are unleavened, then we can be that vessel for honor that he desires for each one of us to become. Praise God. So sin must be dealt with on all three dimensions of our existence. Three-dimensional beings require three-dimensional salvation. And understanding how God dealt with sin relative to your spirit, how God dealt with sin as it relates to your spirit, your nature, your being, the real you, your true self, is what provides the foundation. It's what provides the foundation for dealing with sin relative to your soul, your understanding, consciousness, your body, your behavior, and your actions. Remember what he said in Proverbs 4. From your heart spring forth the issues of life. So if the heart is not right, there's no way anything that springs forth from inside of us, out of us, can be right. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, it's what comes out of a man that defiles a man. And what comes out of a man is not just determined by the spirit of that man. What comes out of a man is determined by both the spirit and the soul. The heart is the combination of those two. So while the spirit is born again and truly unleavened, if there's corruption in our thinking, if we're not thinking right, if our thinking has been contaminated by this world's ways of seeing and doing and being, then that's going to produce corrupted behavior, also corrupted results, limited results. Amen. You still with me tonight in our lives? So when he says truly unleavened, let's talk for a minute about that word truly. Simple word, but I think it packs an important punch. God sees you. And my prayer for you this afternoon, prayer for you tonight, my prayer for you right now, is that this lands on your heart in a way that's more than just words or a thought. In other words, that something just really begins to turn over in a positive way deep inside of you. But as simple as I know how to say it, but as hopefully as profoundly as it will hit you and register with you, is God sees you and treats you as you truly are to him. Washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, those three words, washed, sanctified, and justified, if you remember, they come from the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is right after 1 Corinthians chapter 5, right? Where Paul says we got to purge out the old leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he gets specific. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he's just calling it old leaven. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's going to get down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, he's going to talk about exactly, leave no room for doubt or misunderstanding about what he's referring to. And so he says, now therefore it's already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Now listen, I know to some extent I may be, because I believe the best about people. And I've been accused by more than one person in my life of being naive. I've been accused by more than one person of being, you know, vulnerable and allowing people to walk all over me. And there is, listen to me, I understand there's some truth to that, so I'm not trying to be in complete denial, nor am I trying to spiritualize my own dysfunction, okay? But I also have come to a place in life where I've realized that even if somebody does, quote-unquote, get one over on me, if my heart is right, I can't lose. Are you hearing me? I can't lose. In other words, when you read something like this and only this verse, and it's like, why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? You're like, man, who in the world? What are you talking about? Well, if you read the balance of what Jesus is about and what he's revealing to us through the Apostle Paul, right, is that God is our source. Amen. And if somebody takes your coat, give them your overcoat. If somebody steals your shoes, give them your socks. You know, Jesus taught us that, right? Somebody slaps you, turn your cheek. You're just like, whoa, don't say it now, whoa. But what he's trying to help you and me understand is that if we will seek first the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter if somebody cheats you or takes advantage of you. If your heart's right, God's going to take care of you. Are you following me? And this is one of a really important way that we can show love. Amen, right? Where we can express love and practice love, but also our trust in God to take care of us. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Inherit the kingdom is not the same as going to heaven when you die. We've explained that. I don't want to go into that tonight. But notice he says, and such were some of you. He said, this is who you were by your former nature. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So let's go back to it. God sees you and God treats you. as you truly are to him. Notice he says, you are truly unleavened. You are truly unleavened. God sees you and treats you as you truly are to him. You are truly washed. You are truly sanctified. You are truly justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, what does this word truly mean? I know we probably use it. It's one of those kind of common words that we may never really think about the definition. But truly means in accordance with reality. In accordance with reality. Sincerely and genuinely. If we say something that's truly, truly this or truly that, we're saying that it's real, it's in accordance with reality, it's sincere, it's genuine. When truly is used to express or modify a statement or a thing, it's expressing certainty and authenticity about that thing. Amen. So when God says you are truly unleavened, he's saying in accordance with reality, you are unleavened. When he's saying you are truly sanctified, you are truly washed, you are truly justified, he is saying that this is sincere, it's genuine, it's not just something that God says to make us feel better about ourselves, it's not just, you know, like one of those figurative expressions, it's not, you know, one of those, things that we, labels that we wear or things that we say. No, he's saying you truly are this. This is how he truly sees you. This is for real. This is sincere. This is authentic. This is genuine. This is certain. Praise the name of the living God. So what does it mean then to be truly washed? To be truly washed means he's taken your sin away. What does it mean to be truly sanctified? It means to be set apart from sin, death, and the corrupted seed of Adam. But sanctified doesn't just mean set apart from. It means set apart from unto. So we've been set apart from sin, we've been set apart from death, separation from God, and we've been set apart from the corrupted seed of Adam unto righteousness. We've been set apart unto righteousness. We've been set apart unto life. We've been set apart to unto the incorruptible seed of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. Truly. For real. He's wanting this to dawn on them. Paul understands. He's not trying to threaten them with an eternity in hell, as some people say. He's trying to scare them straight. He's trying to tell them, and you keep on doing this, you're going to bust hell wide open. You ever heard that expression from the pulpit? Bust hell wide open. I heard Dr. Bill Winston say this one time. He says, how hot does fire have to burn you? And what he's talking about is, you remember that they heated the furnace 7 times hotter before they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. You don't have to get it 7 times hotter to burn them. Plain old fire will burn them. Why 7 times hotter? Trying to scare them, right? So just saying somebody's going to hell, that's bad enough, right? But notice we got to put the modifier on it. Going to bust hell wide open. That's even worse than going to hell, is just bust it wide open. It's just scare tactics, right? That is not the approach the Holy Spirit. And listen, Paul was not some pushover. I mean, Holy Spirit told Paul, that man sleeping with his daddy's wife needs to be separated for a while, and he needs to get some things straight. He's up there singing in the choir like nothing's wrong. It's not right. You know, so Paul is not some pushover, right? He's not soft. He's not, my favorite is, like, I try to talk to somebody about grace. Well, you know, we can't take advantage, we can't abuse it, brother. Can't take advantage of it. I'm like, what's that the first thing we go to, right? So Paul's not one of these, like, just take advantage of the grace. That's not who he is. But he's also a man who has great understanding. And he knows that these men and women truly are unleavened, but they were raised in paganism. They were raised in, worshiping idols with all kinds of crazy sexual practices and things that have been indoctrinated into them. And he understands that there's still some of that leaven in their understanding, still some of that leaven in their thinking and the way they see things, right? And it's got to be purged because it's causing sin to perpetuate in their lives. Amen. And it's causing them to miss out on what belongs to them because they're God's children and they're God's heirs in the earth. Are you following me?
But he doesn't threaten them with eternity in hell if they don't straighten up. He says to what? You're truly sanctified. You are truly washed. You are truly justified before God. And this is how he sees you. And the sooner you see yourself the way God sees you, the sooner you're going to be able to break free from this sin that seems to have a stranglehold on your life. And you're going to step over into the things that God has already given to you and done for you. And you're going to become a vessel for honor that God can use and manifest himself through to other people. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, truly justified, I'm talking about you now, not just them, I'm talking about you and me. Truly justified means what? We've been made righteous. We've been declared righteous by God. And one of my favorite ways to define justified is just as if I'd never sinned. Again, God puts this truly in there, right? You are truly unleavened. You are truly unleavened. It's not just a figure of speech. It's not just something that we say and you fake it till you make it. No, this is true about you right now. Truly washed. Truly set apart. Truly, I see you as one who has never sinned and am treating you that way. Amen. For Father's glory. Now, there's a part of this that I've been trying to get to, and I want to try to jump to it tonight. The Holy Spirit used some very intentional words when he talked about the difference between the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. And we know that an apple tree bears apples that have seeds in them that have apple trees in those seed. Amen. It almost sounds like a fairy tale or a myth or some fantasy, but we know that's true. I mean, I don't know how much we really think about it, but that's exactly how this works. The fruit's in the tree, the seed's in the fruit, the tree's in the seed. That has the fruit, that has the seed, that has the tree, that has the fruit, that has the... You follow what I'm saying? Okay. And we know that an apple tree produces apples just like an orange tree produces oranges, just like a plum tree produces plums, just like a grapevine produces grapes, clusters of grapes. So when we bring that... Again, this is simple, amen, and we have to start with something simple to move it over to something complex. You and I have been born again. We were by nature children of wrath. We were sons, offspring of disobedience. But now, because of the exceeding great and precious promises, the word of God, the seed of God, we have been born again. We've become a partaker of the divine nature of God. And then 1 John 3 says his seed is in us, just like that fruit. His seed is in us. Man, come on, that ought to excite you right there. His seed is in our spirit. Amen. Producing life, producing fruit, producing trees. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul speaks to the church, the letter is in the letter to the Galatians, but obviously it's to all of us. He talks about the fruit that your born again spirit will produce, but then he also addresses not the fruit of the flesh, but the works of the flesh. In other words, what you're still capable of producing, even though it's not your nature anymore. So what he's saying here is that we have the fruit of the Spirit, but then in the same life that the fruit of the Spirit is being produced, or at least is trying to be produced, amen. We have the works of the flesh that are occurring alongside that. And he says that it creates a stalemate between our born-again spirit and our flesh, so that you can't do, you know, the lust of the spirit, the lust of the flesh. These two desires are in opposition to one another, and it creates a gridlock that we got to break free from. Amen? You still with me? But there's a big difference between fruit and works. Amen. Are you with me? In other words, works implies something that we're doing that we can stop. Amen. But if the tree's healthy and we remove any hindrance to the fruit, you can't stop the fruit. The fruit's just going to come and come and keep coming. Amen. So we could say it this way. One's eternal, one's temporary. Right? Okay. So when we talk about the difference between the apple tree producing apples, the orange tree producing oranges, the apple tree can't produce oranges anymore, then the orange tree can produce apples. God's seed abides in you, so you don't sin because you've been born of God, because you can't sin. Okay. He's talking about your born again spirit now. You can still, your corrupt thinking can produce works of the flesh and sinful behavior. Remember what Paul said. It's not him that's doing it. He being his born again spirit is the real you. And he's learning how to live in and through an earthen vessel that will one day become a glorified vessel. Now, let me just get straight to this, and I'm about out of time, but we'll jump back in here next week. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33, 34, and 35. Can you take everything we've covered right now and let's move it forward? I think this will really help you understand what Jesus is saying when he says this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, I've made this statement a time or two. I'm going to make it again. An apple tree, although we can learn from it, the major difference between an apple tree and a human being is that an apple tree is not a three-dimensional being. Are you following me? In other words, an apple tree doesn't have a spirit, soul, and a body. Now, I know we could talk about root and trunk and fruit and branch and all that stuff, but I'm talking about, you know, apple tree wasn't created in the image and likeness of God. It's created by God, not created in the image and likeness of God. There's a big difference, right? We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And so we have the capacity to be one thing, but have corruption in our soul and do works that are not reflective of our true nature and true self. Let me say it another way. We have the capacity as a three-dimensional being to send mixed signals. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. Because from the outside, those religious leaders, the majority of them anyway, or at least the ones that we read about in the Gospels, Jesus said they were like whitewashed tombs. In other words, you got an above ground burial place where you got corpses, dead bodies, bones, rotting flesh, whatever, decomposing bodies inside. But the outside, they'd paint them white and they'd look so fabulous, you know, beautiful even on the outside. But on the inside, full of dead men's bones. Jesus said they were like that. In other words, outwardly, they appeared to be saying good things and doing good things, but inwardly, they were full of death and evil and wicked things. Well, that's just the reverse of what we're talking about with the Corinthians. Outwardly, they still had remnants of death. Remember when Lazarus comes out of the tomb, he was alive again, but he still had grave clothes wrapped around him. And we were singing that song the other morning at the Foundry, you know, taking off my grave clothes. You know, it's a good song, but that was not a pleasant experience. I'm trying to be gross on you, but if his body was decomposing, those grave clothes were probably wet, like with goo. I mean, you know, like
Ugh. Okay. Amen. It's not pleasant. But so notice this, you've got the religious leaders who looked like they were pristine, you know, amazing righteous men, but inwardly they were not. Then you got Lazarus. He comes out. He looks and smells like a dead man, but on the inside, he's got life. You see what we're talking about here? So when Jesus says, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for tree's known by its fruit, Jesus said, listen, we call them hypocrite, right? Because inwardly they were one way, but outwardly they were trying to portray something different. They were trying to give the impression of fruit that was not a true reflection of who they were inwardly. Are you following what I'm saying? Staying with me. I should have tried to tackle that right here and right now. We'll get into it more because James even talks about it. James talks about that a spring should either bring forth fresh water or bitter water, or we might say salt water. Because fresh water, you can drink and be nourished from it, but salt water, it kill you. I mean, you know, shut your kidneys down, kill you. Okay? And so, if we're talking about a one-dimensional well, it's either going to be fresh or it's going to be salt. But what did he say to believers, right? You got the Spirit of the living God, living water in you, but yet judgment and prejudice and gossip and, you know, even cursing men who were created in the image of the similitude of God that are coming out of the well opening, right? So again, it's very easy to say, you know, apple tree bears apples, orange tree bears oranges, a freshwater well brings forth fresh water. But all those are one-dimensional things. We're a three-dimensional being. For we can be one thing, think another thing, and do a third thing. Maybe not consistently, but still over the course of a day. So what Jesus is saying here is, we got to get this lined up, right? Who we are, how we think, what we say, what we do, all reflective of who we are in Christ Jesus, truly unleavened, truly washed, truly sanctified, truly justified. Amen? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for helping us. Father, thank you that I believe one of the things that just about everybody in this room, if not everybody in this room and everybody watching online, Father, that we have in common is that we recognize at some point in our walk with you that there had to be more. There had to be more than what we were hearing and experiencing. And Father, we at least know enough about it now to be convinced that there is more, Lord, that you have for us, that you have given to us, that you want us to walk in, that place in life that we can't get to without you on our own. We gotta have you. We can't get there by ourselves. And Father, I thank you that you're helping us understand and identify some of these corrupt thinking that's leading to corrupt behaving, this leaven, Father, that still needs to be purged out. And because we truly are unleavened, Father, because we truly are washed and sanctified and justified, and you live in us, we have the ability. Your Holy Spirit's in us both to will and to do what pleases you. So we have the wherewithal tonight, Father, to purge out that leaven, Holy Spirit identifying, convincing, convicting, revealing, showing us the way forward as he leads us and guides us into all truth. So Father, we just say thank you again, Lord. What a father, what a friend, what a savior you are. Lord, we're not alone. You promised to never leave us nor forsake us. You said when your Holy Spirit came to live in us, he would be in us forever. And so, Father, I thank you for your abiding presence, both in us, but also, Lord, that we, through an awareness and an acknowledgement and the setting of our mind on the things of the Spirit, Father, that it's not just that you've promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but we experience the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, Father, I'm certainly not here to embarrass anyone, but Lord, one of our sisters in this room, she needs a job. And she needs it like yesterday, Lord. And Father, you know the situation. You know the places that she has sought employment, the doors that she's knocked on, the resumes that she's submitted. And Lord, for whatever reason, the right situation hasn't manifested yet. But Lord, we just believe you, that it's coming and it will not tarry. And Father, what she's confessing and holding fast her confession of faith, Father, that it will come to pass. And Father, that you have the right situation for her. You have the right, Lord, just the whole package, Father. And, Lord, as a family of faith, we just agree together, join our faith together and agree with our sister, for these things to come to pass speedily, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, love somebody in Jesus. Thank you so much for being here this evening. Man, it's good to see so many of you on a Wednesday night. Praise God. Good things coming. Jesus is Lord. Never forget that you are loved.